Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope, there we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
B-Pod Studios.
Yes! Hello, my broken brigade! 'Tis your great leader, Broken Matt Hardy! And you are currently listening to Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast with two wonderful blokes, James Stewart and Mike Riley. Yes! Let's get into it and listen to the Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast!
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5thesportshub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. The Miz should be given another run at the top of either the Raw brand or the SmackDown brand as one of their respective champions. I would lean towards making Miz the next WWE champion. And here's why. It's kind of a subject we've talked about a lot. Who's the best promo in WWE right now? Kevin Owens is certainly on that list, and it looks like he's going to be doing something favorable. Right now, he's in a program with the McMahon, specifically Shane. And The Miz is also on that list. And what WWE, I think, needs right now is someone who can be a top villain on TV every week as the champion who can talk fans into the building. Miz is that guy. The Miz has only had one run on top as WWE champion, and it did very well. Using similar numbers that I ran through last week, The Miz would rank 17th on the live attendance list. 17th. Miz over the course of 35 house shows, live events, as WWE champion, averaged 6,300 fans, which right now would be number one on the active roster. As far as the WWE goes specifically, it feels like they're in a TV ratings crisis. Maybe they're not because they have metrics that show digital streaming. Other numbers might offset their TV ratings and making their TV ratings less relevant. But keep in mind, Miz also has a reality TV show. And as we know, mainstream media is something the WWE loves seemingly more than their week-to-week Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-view broadcasts. Mike, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I like the take. I think The Miz is kind of that character that either you're in on him or you're out. That's just how I perceive it. Now, I like him. I think he's very talented. I would be fine with him as a champion. But I don't think there's a lot of middle ground there with him for fans. And yeah, he does connect. He does have the viewership. It backs it up with the numbers and everything. Now, for Monday Night Raw last week, there was a 26% jump in the ratings because of the reunion. So the crisis there, I think, you know, that was a nice injection for the one particular week there. It's not out for this week and obviously SmackDown because we're taping as it's going on. But I think if you do have The Miz there, you can parlay that, like you said, with his reality television show. Very easy to have him as a face or a heel. That's the beauty of The Miz. It, almost like Kevin Owens, where you mentioned him, he could be a face or a heel. And even though he is a face right now, it's driving me crazy, where I'd rather see him as a heel. The Miz can do both of that, and that's quite a skill. So I would be perfectly fine with him as a WWE champion. The question is, would he be a face or a heel?
I would have him as a villain, 100%. Give me villain Miz and have line him up and see how many he can knock down between now and WrestleMania in Tampa.
I have a dream scenario, and I would love to see The Miz going into WrestleMania as a champion, and then you have John Cena defeat him at WrestleMania.
So I'm not against that. And of course, that would be a rematch from WrestleMania in Atlanta where Miz
27.
Did win.
Right.
But I don't think John Cena is going to get 17.
You don't think at all?
I don't.
Wow.
I don't think so.
It's just part-time? I think he will.
So I don't think so because the way that when he came out in New York at this past WrestleMania, they did this whole Babe Ruth intro, yeah. which I don't think people understood.
Right.
And the simple fact is John Cena is Vince McMahon once described how he wanted a Babe Ruth of the WWE. He thought that was going to be Hogan. Hogan's had his issues and he can only be brought out at certain times and certain locations to protect him. John Cena has a good, hopefully, 30 years left on this planet. You know, yeah. more than that, but 30 productive ones as he's just, he's 40-ish.
Yeah.
So he's got longer term value of being the Babe Ruth of the WWE where he comes in here and there and he does quality stuff.
Mm.
And
42, by the way.
Yeah, 42. So he can go until his mid-60s as far as a TV character if he so chooses. Hogan 66-ish. So with Cena, if he's that Babe Ruth character, then he probably doesn't go for 17 again because he doesn't need it. And, you know, the math on the world title reigns are kind of funky anyway. But I don't think anybody, it's Ric Flair and it's John Cena, and 16 is the max.
Well, yeah, and I see what you're saying there. However, though, would I love to see him beat The Miz at WrestleMania 36? Sure. But in the scenario that he does not, I think, you know, he could, you know, if the WWE does find themselves in a spiral and, you know, ratings are down, which we've seen certainly this year, they always have that card to pull it out of the back of their pocket and say, all right, time to get the run here for Cena to have him break it. Because Hogan, you know, he came back when the WWE bought out the WCW. He won it. He was a six-time champion. He was a world heavyweight title winner right there. So that could happen again in that scenario there for John Cena. So would I like to see it at WrestleMania 36? Absolutely over The Miz. But I think they could always have that as a security blanket if he does not do it and then use it down the line.
I kind of figured if Cena was going to do anything at Mania, it was going to be Roman Reigns. But I think it's Roman and Brock. And it's just a matter of how they get there, when they started, all that stuff.
We're heading in that direction, that's for sure.
You know, because I'd be surprised if Seth Rollins goes over at SummerSlam, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, that's who I was going to talk about on my opening take. You ready?
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Yeah, Seth Rollins, baby. So... Joe Murray really had me thinking last week when we had him on the show here. Thank you again to Joe over under 98.5. Check him out there. And he did disagree with both you and I that Seth Rollins has, he used the quote, answered the bell. And yes, I do agree with him that he has. He's done everything that's been asked for him, you know, to do what he can to be that carrier of the torch and whatever possible. But it just,
the franchise quarterback.
Thank you. It's not working. It's still not. And from what we saw on Raw this week, when you have Brock Lesnar come in there and absolutely destroy him, at the end of the show, it's almost like a foreshadow of what we're going to see happen here eventually with Seth Rollins, because I think you're going to have Brock win at SummerSlam. And I think if the WWE were smart, and I don't know if this is in the cards or whatever, after SummerSlam, I think Seth Rollins needs to go away, and not for because people are frustrated with him or whatnot, but for the better of Seth Rollins. Go away, take some time off, and just more or less repackage your character as to how you can come back and connect more with the fans and be a better champion, because right now it is not working, even in the main event status there with Brock Lesnar. So
there is something we said, Mike, for giving wrestlers mandatory time off.
I know, but
And that does freshen up the character a little bit, because Seth Rollins needs to take a drastic change in a different direction. You saw that with Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
He was losing momentum on the Yes Movement, and he switched to this totally different eco-friendly character, which he believes in. He 100% believes in. And here's a question from Chris on Twitter. How do you think the Lesnar-Rollins match can be different than previous encounters? Does their feud end here? And if so, where does each person go from there? And my answer is it should end at SummerSlam. It should end with Brock winning, and then Brock goes away until the Rumble again, and Seth goes away. Survivor Series, yep, because they do the title versus title thing.
Yeah.
So Brock goes away for a little while, and then Seth Rollins goes away, and maybe he comes back on Fox. Maybe what they should do, Mike, since we don't have a brand split, we kind of sort of have a brand split.
Right.
Redo the draft.
Yeah, something.
Redo the draft. Your first show on Fox, redo the draft.
Redo that. Also, get rid of the wild card rule. That would just kill it right there, like you said. And the other thing, too, I mentioned this last year. I think it was right after the Survivor Series, a recap show we did. Do something. Do an incentive in there, because it is your second oldest pay-per-view. You know, Vince definitely has some sort of significant connection to it. He wants to keep it going. Have some bragging rights there. Put something on the line. You know, change something, because right now, if you just have Raw, SmackDown, win, you know, make an incentive on it that they'll have this champion from Raw only defend the title, I'm just hypothetically talking here, twice a year instead of five or six times a year.
The thing that I did like about Survivor Series that is obviously cheapened now is you got the Raw versus SmackDown matches, which you could only get at Survivor Series. So,
correct.
Charlotte versus Alexa Bliss was a unique matchup. Charlotte and Ronda was a unique matchup. Brock versus AJ, Brock versus Daniel Bryan, unique matchups.
Right.
And that's one thing that I did like about Survivor Series. But now we see everything everywhere, because there is sort of a brand split, but not really a brand split. And that's why I think when we get to October, that first Monday Night Raw in October, the new fall book, you start the draft. You redraft the rosters. Then Friday Night SmackDown, you wrap up the draft. And you just have Heyman and Bischoff on TV drafting their rosters and
two
making trades. And that's what you do.
Yep. They've done it before. Do it again. So history repeats itself a little bit.
Speaking of kind of draws, I'm curious, because I was having this discussion with the illustrious Billy Lanny.
Great guy.
AJ Styles, what kind of grade would you give him for his WWE run?
Well, since he came in, what has it been, 4 or 5 years now?
Royal Rumble entrant number 3 in Philadelphia, and that would have been 2016, I believe.
So, yeah, coming up on the Wow, 4-year mark, crazy. I think, you know what? I like him better as a heel. And I think overall, though, for what he's done, you know, he's been a champion. He even had that long reign for a while. I give him, you want to do a star rating?
I asked for a letter grade.
Oh, letter. I'm sorry. I'll give him a solid A. I really will. And the reason why I say that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the reason why I say that, he's done everything that's been asked of him. He really has. And he's got a new contract now. He's helped put over the reestablish Gallows and Anderson, which the original club, I know you hate that name and everything, the OC. But it's just, he's done that, and he's had good feet.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Dudes, he had a great couple of matches. Whoever you put AJ Styles in the ring with, I think you're going to be in for a good match, with the exception of Nakamura, WrestleMania 34. The match he had against Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series, I think it was last year or the year before, going into it, I'm like, eh, whatever. But that was like, and that was maybe one of the greatest matches of the year. The other one, too, he had a fantastic match with John Cena at SummerSlam. I think it was 2016 or 17. Unbelievable. Everything that AJ Styles, when you put him in the ring, I think he is overall a top three best in-ring performer right now on the active roster. I think that's hard to argue. And he's a good champion. I think he's great, both as a face and a heel. I like him better as a heel. I would give him a solid A. I really do.
So as a hardcore fan, I initially thought, well, he doesn't seem to be drawing well, so it must be a C. I initially gave him a grade of a C. Okay. And then I went through his resume, and I'm like, he's an A. He's 100% an A. But the problem is he's not the guy. He's not the man, so to speak. And I love AJ's work, going through his resume. Fabulous matches with Jericho, with Roman Reigns, with John Cena. That last match he had, the last man standing match with Nakamura, was good stuff.
By the way, Jimmy, underrated
Samoa
match.
Joe.
Yeah, and an underrated match, WrestleMania 33, Shane McMahon.
Yep.
Great match.
Randy Orton this past year, he had a good match with. Seth Rollins at Money in the Bank in Hartford this past year, he had a good match. And as far as drawing, he's in the lower tier as far as drawing as champion. He averaged 36,025 live event house show domestic attendance in 38 shows performed, which was slightly above what Jinder Mahal did as champion in 43 of those live events. Jinder was at 3,497 fans at a live gate. So my question is, if we love AJ Styles, we think he's an A performer, why didn't he draw?
Yeah, is it maybe because he didn't come up the ranks of WWE?
No, I think it's the promo thing, Mike. So in our lifetime, I'm 38, you're 30.
I'll be 35 next Thursday, August 8th, send your cards.
So you'll be, oh, birthday coming up soon. Good to know. I wouldn't have remembered that.
There.
So in our lifetime, we'll start with the Hulk Hogan era, right? Mm-hmm. The WWE's top guys have been Hulk Hogan.
Yep.
Randy Savage. Steve Austin. The Rock. And John Cena. Those have been the five main top franchise guys in WWE in our wrestling viewing lifetime. Agree? Disagree?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to insert Bret Hart there, too. I think for that down period of time in the 90s, he did kind of, he was the guy after Hogan for a while. But I'll give you that. I can get behind that because Savage, I think he's much more, you know, he's a pop culture icon, too.
Yep. Randy he did Savage, the Slim Jim commercials.
Yeah. I was at a country music concert the other night, Brad Paisley, and he pulled out someone's phone right in the front row. And he was just going through the pictures. He goes, oh, this guy looks like Macho Man Randy Savage. I'm like, that's awesome. You don't hear that. He looks like Bret Hart. It's Macho Man Randy Savage.
And I mentioned all five of those guys because they have one thing in common. They're all elite level promos.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those guys for those domestic house show numbers are all the top of the list.
Absolutely.
All the top of the list. And I think that's what this company is missing, is that promo guy. And that's why I think give The Miz a chance. Give The Miz another chance.
Give him a shot, huh?
And see where it goes, because you've got nothing to lose and everything to gain.
So I think if Brock Lesnar could talk, he would be in that discussion.
He has Paul Heyman, and that's not working.
It's not exactly. But if it were Brock talking, you know, able to be cutting a kick-ass promo, he'd be right there. But yeah, it's just something's not working.
So, and I think it's promo skills. That's what I think it is.
That's half the battle right there, being a superstar.
Because in those 80s wrestling, you'd get talked into the building, mm-hmm. and Hogan would go on before the intermission, and yep. your main event would be the Rockers and the Brainbusters.
And then Hogan goes right up from New York to Boston for the night show.
Exactly. So they can do Boss Man Hogan cage match in New York, and then do Boss Man Hogan cage match at the Boston Garden.
Right. Exactly.
And that's what it is.
No, that's a good list, the five there. You know, it's hard to argue. Yeah, I think that's a really good list. I can get behind that.
So WWE needs a promo guy. That's what they
need. Yes,
they
do.
First
like
and
now.
Foremost. And maybe that's Kevin Owens, and it just needs time to build more. But I think the vote should go to The Miz. And if your top program is a villain Miz against a good guy Kevin Owens, maybe that helps. Maybe
so
that helps.
Did you see Stone Cold Steve Austin's comments about Kevin Owens too?
Yeah, and Steve kind of addressed a little bit on his podcast today with Hogan.
Oh, I haven't heard that
about
yet.
How he's got a whole bunch of injuries that he's recovering from, so he's limited at best.
Okay, all right, good stuff.
Any other WWE notes before I transition to AEW?
I do want to say one thing that
this is why I ask.
Yes, well, two things rather. I know we touched on this last week, but I'm just really fascinated with the Bray Wyatt character now. I think it's a good thing. Again, character reestablishment. So I think that's what Seth Rollins could do, something along those lines there. Not per se a Bray Wyatt evil individual psychopath, but something like that to get reengaged. Like now I'm actually engaged and I am in on Bray Wyatt. So I think that could definitely help his case. And again, another thing too, I was like, what the hell is going on here at the beginning of the Maria and Mike scenario? But now being that 24/7 champion, Mike bringing it out on the Twitter saying he's looking for a referee for the baby outfits there to be on standby and so forth. I love it. The 24/7 title, at first, it was like, oh my gosh, what the hell? But now you can bring social media into it, and the fact that his wife, who is pregnant, is a champion, and Mike was a champion at one point too, trying to, you know, give him another shot and to give him a real identity, if you will, here in the WWE. Good for him. And I'm very curious to see how this is all going to pan out with he and Maria as the 24/7 title holders.
And the thing with Mike and Maria is they were introduced 3 years ago-ish.
2017.
so they were in, they were introduced, and it's, well, he took her last name.
Right.
He had the program with Sammy, and they never followed it up because of a number of different issues. Right. So now, 3 years later, we're getting the explanation of why he took her last name. And it's a good story. It's a unique story. And I think when Mikey makes his comeback, I think it'll be good stuff. But the people who are like, oh, he's buried, let the story play out, because I think it'll be a good one. I think it'll be an interesting one.
Yeah. So it's a, it may be a little weird right now, but yeah, give it time.
Give it time. Give it time. You had so another WWE note or no?
No, that was it. The the Bray Wyatt, and also I know you're very excited for Charlotte against Trisha at SummerSlam.
Oh yeah. Yeah. 100%. We'll get there. I pulled some questions from the Twitter that we'll talk about.
Oh, nice. Okay.
That,
yeah. So and next week's SummerSlam preview too, I'd imagine.
Yes.
Yeah.
AEW announced their first match for October's TNT premiere. It's Cody Rhodes against Sammy Guevara.
Who?
The show's taking place at the Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday, October 2nd, and will air on TNT from 8 to 10. From what I read on the internet, Sammy's a fabulous talent. I wasn't exactly thrilled that this was the first match that they announced on their TV show.
Mm.
And with the fact that you go, who?
Yeah.
Kind of adds a little bit to that. If you're going to announce a Cody match and he's got to be first, he's got to be out in the forefront. You need something a little bit better than that. I think you got to announce something better than that. I mean, if you want to go through Cody's AEW resume so far, beats his brother, time limit draw with Darby Allin, loss with his brother against the Young Bucks, right?
Yep.
Wouldn't you want the rematch with him and Darby Allin?
Or his brother.
Or his brother, but I think his brother might be done.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
That was a farewell.
Or do you want to hold off on announcing it until you get through Cody versus Sean Spears, which we think is going to be August 31st at the AEW pay-per-view, but that's not been announced yet.
Or do you want to wait until Jon Moxley wins the G1 and have him go up against Cody?
Well, AEW and New Japan are kind of it's a longer story,
iffy.
But I just kind of like, I want AEW to do well. I want WWE to do well. I want everybody to do well. I love pro wrestling. I love sports entertainment.
Yeah.
But this announcement of Cody being the first.
Go ahead, let it out, Jimmy. Go ahead.
It's just
okay. Here, I'll do it for you.
Why is Cody at the forefront of everything? Is he going to open up this show with a speech? Is he going to close this show with a speech? But you should have given me something better than this as your first announcement, because the goal is to sell out 20,000 seats in Washington, D.C. on the debut episode. I don't know that they can do that. They sold out the Sears Center in Chicago, which is 11,000. So now you have to double that or come close to doubling it for your first TV show. So you can do better than Cody against somebody who we're not all familiar with.
Do something
but
better.
But he's got to be in front of everything. Like, stop.
Yeah,
you weren't even one of the original vice presidents. You were the fourth one, and you weaseled your way. Never
mind. Well, hey, the Jay Stu rant on Cody is always priceless, and I think people turn the volume up and stop what they're doing. They'll pull over on the side of the road too if they are listening.
And I like Cody.
No,
Cody's
I know,
been super nice to me, but like,
listen,
you got to get over yourself, man.
You're speaking from the heart, and if you're going to put yourself out there, put yourself with the main event caliber guy. And sure, to his credit, I'm sure he wants to help put this guy over, and that's very nice of him. But you want to make a splash, make it a memorable one. Make it one where you know a match you're going to talk about for years to come. Kind of like, you know, one of the big matches I'll never forget, obviously, Mick Foley winning in Worcester in Monday Night Raw. That was a weekly episode. Goldberg and Hulk Hogan at the Georgia Dome. You know the venue, too. Make a name for it. something you'll never forget, where you were, when, the whole nine yards on that. And that's the scenario they have to do here to grab the audience right away and hold on to them.
But in the same way that when they did their all-in pay-per-view last year, mm-hmm. they sacked the deck and they used Ring of Honor and their production team to prove to Tony Khan that they could draw, right?
Right.
So then you fast forward, they do their second pay-per-view, they load the thing up. This pay-per-view coming up, they've loaded the thing up. Your first TV show, you should kind of load up.
Absolutely.
And it shouldn't be Cody. It should be, hey, it's going to be the Young Bucks against the Lucha Brothers again.
Well,
a match that we know is quality. Or it's going to be Kenny Omega against Dustin Rhodes. Or it's got to be something a little bit better than what they announced.
Well, here's the thing, though. I think what AEW is telling us is that Cody Rhodes is, you want to flag, you know, go back to the 80s and the WWF, he's their Hulk Hogan. And I'm just, this is what I'm getting from it.
Weight belt and all.
Yeah, and from the 1990s of WWF, he's your Bret Hart and Diesel. And, you know, and now in the Attitude Era, he is your Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock. You know, he's your John Cena. He's carrying the torch for them. That's what they're trying to be, the flag bearer, Cody Rhodes. And I think that's what they're trying to build it up as.
Or if you want to do something, announce a six-man. It's
sure.
Cody, Dustin, John Moxley against the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega.
Or do
right?
like a number
that protects
one
everybody. That keeps yeah. that keeps things simple. You can just do glimpses of different things.
Yeah.
Just
I'll do it.
Could
do
have announced something
four-way.
A little bit better than that.
Fatal four way for number one contender. Could do that.
Something like that. Just
yeah.
Yeah. Cody against somebody we're just learning about. Do better.
Yeah. Yeah. To quote Conrad, and I won't use the term, who booked this?
Yeah. Well, Cody did. Cody has that power.
Yeah,
he booked
he
himself.
Did, yeah.
He booked himself. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for him to book himself as champion. New Japan's G1 tournament continues. Okada and John Moxley are the only two undefeated wrestlers. Moxley had another phenomenal weekend, as did Okada. If you're looking for a hard-hitting match out of this tournament, Kenta versus Okada was that. The hand strikes were just vicious.
Yep.
Like open hand strikes. Moxley had a good match with Naito. One of my friends texted me and was like, who isn't familiar with New Japan, says, are there no disqualifications in New Japan? To which I said, only because they're trying to get John Moxley over. Are they being lenient with the rules? And that's what they've done.
Yeah, and he had a really good promo at the end, too. After
the double
the
birds in the background with the guy who carries his belt doing the promo. And, of course, Moxley at the end of it goes, this kid's a real panty dropper. Let's go.
But it's, you know, he is 5-0 as of this this taping here. And that was the first time those two guys fought. They'd never fought before. Naoto and Moxley. So it was, the anticipation was there. I thought it was a good match. I thought the one last week with, why am I blanking? Jimmy, help me out. Who did he beat in the four?
He's beaten everybody.
Yeah, but who did he beat last week?
Evil? I'm blanking. Ishii.
Yeah, I think it was Ishii. Yeah, thank you. I thought that was Moxley's best match. It was awesome. This was still a good one, too. But here he is here. He is 5-0 and in the driver's seat. And again, make that claim. This is where AEW could have cashed in. When he does become the G1 champion, the winner of the tournament, that's where they could build it up. I know they can't, you know, there are some tensions right now between the two promotions, but you know who won the tournament, and there you go up against Cody Rhodes right there. Who's the best in the world?
John Moxley's way better. But I think with the G1, it'll be interesting because right now it's lined up to be Okada and Moxley. So do you have Moxley beat Okada setting up Wrestle Kingdom where it would be Okada's title on the line against Moxley?
That would be awesome.
But can Moxley actually win that match or lose that match because he's under contract somewhere else?
Right. So that's
that
where
becomes
I
the booking nightmare right there.
Yeah. That's where it's got lost written all over it.
But Okada and Moxley, I'm in.
Absolutely.
I'm in for it. That should be a wonderful match. By the way, quick aside, while we're talking about strong strikes and New Japan and stuff like that, last week I mentioned the Steiner Brothers as a tag team, and I kind of Googled around and found the match I was referencing, which was as close to a real wrestling match as you're going to see. It's Wrestle War 92. It's Rick and Scott Steiner against Fujinami and Azuka.
Oh, okay.
And it's a hard-hitting match, and it's, like I said, it's as close to a real wrestling fight match as you'll probably ever see. It's a good one.
Nice.
So let's do some questions here.
Let's do it.
From Ben at Jedi Boston on Twitter. He says, I feel like Kofi's reign has been longer than most expected. Where do you think it's headed, and who finally takes him down? Is Orton the guy at SummerSlam? I don't think it's Orton. I still think it's Shane McMahon who ends Kofi's run as WWE champion. I'd rather see Kevin Owens or The Miz take it from Kofi. I think the key, though, for Kofi is him and Randy Orton have to have a championship-defining match for Kofi Kingston.
Mm. Well, I think you're going to have Randy Orton win the match. Kofi Kingston beat Randy Orton in the match there, and then the following Tuesday or whatever the heck they do in this stupid wild card, it could be the night after for all we know, you have a rematch, and coming out, I would say, to interfere would be Kevin Owens, and I think that'd be your heel turn there, and then there you go. He feuds with Kofi, becomes a champion in September. Or he becomes the champion on the first ever SmackDown on Fox. That's the way you do a new show on a new program, a new network. Take a note, AEW.
From Mid-Atlantic Mike, what do you think
Big
about
listener.
What do you think about Charlotte versus Trish for SummerSlam? I love it. I love the idea. It gives Charlotte something meaningful to do until she starts her chase for title number 10, which we all know is coming. For Trish, it's her hometown. It's a dream match for many. And I'm sure for her, it's a great payday. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, I think it's got Charlotte written all over it, though, to win. And sure, you know, the hometown, and we're looking at that with Natty, too, and even the home country with Kevin Owens here. We know that WWE going to the hometown, they're not always favorable. So I just think Charlotte's going to win, and that's going to, you know, add on to her resume. Hey, I also beat a Hall of Famer. I beat Trish Stratus. So just more to add up to her before she does go for that 10th title reign.
So I would book this as Trish winning.
Would you?
Yes, and here's why. Because then you can change Charlotte a little bit, and you can have her go to a more aggressive style and more of a whiny... I almost said a bad word there.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
More whiny than she already is. Mm-hmm. And she can point to she lost at WrestleMania. She lost the Royal Rumble. She lost at WrestleMania. She won her 9th title, but then got cashed in on by Bayley.
Right.
She lost to Ember Moon on SmackDown last week. Now she's lost to Trish on another big show. So that's 5 big match losses for Charlotte Flair, and you could have her snap and just turn the volume up in a chase for 10.
It's not bad. I like that. Yeah, I just see her. Yeah. So yeah, if she does lose, I don't know. I just see her winning with the easy route there to add on to the resume. But I like that scenario though, if she is to be booked to lose and then, yeah, get more aggressive. Because, again, going back to what we said with AJ Styles and other superstars like that and The Miz, that's quite a skill to, one, be a heel one time and then also a face, too. And she is definitely of that caliber.
That's why I think a lot of people argue that Hulk Hogan is the greatest wrestler of all time because he drew big money for WWF as the number one good guy. He drew big money for WCW as the number one bad guy. He worked both sides of it.
Exactly.
From our buddy Carl on Twitter, how long do you expect SummerSlam to go? 7 hours.
Seven hours?
Freaking hours.
No.
That's how long SummerSlam will go.
Don't say that. Are you serious?
7 hours.
I think it's going to go 5. It starts at 7 o'clock, or probably pre-show at 6. I'll say 5.5.
7 hours. That's how
long. We need Joe Murray to set the over-under. We're going to need Joe Murray to set the over-under.
That's how long, because as I'm Googling, SummerSlam will have... SummerSlam has 11 matches scheduled right now.
Ugh.
11.
Too much. Too much.
11 matches scheduled.
Okay, so what time would the pre-show start? 5?
5. Yep.
And, ugh. Gosh. No, see, I think it's going to... 5. All right, so... A shade over 6. If you're going to start it at 5, it'll be done a little after 11. That's it.
Our friend Lauren wants to know, what match will main event SummerSlam?
I'm going to go... So I may be in the minority here, but I'm going to say Becky Lynch and Natty. And I think this is the opportunity for Natty to win right there in her home country. And WWE has told us that Becky Lynch has been the top dog since WrestleMania, pretty much the majority of 2019. So if she is, she already main evented a WrestleMania. Why not have her main event a SummerSlam too? That'd be a first too, right? There, a female has never main evented a SummerSlam, right?
That is correct.
So there you go.
I think Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins and SummerSlam.
Mm.
And in,
I don't think it should, but I think it will.
Doing some digging on this, the last time Brock Lesnar didn't close a SummerSlam was 2013.
Wow.
But that year that year he was involved in a match with CM Punk, which you could argue was the best match of the night. If you want to say Brian and Cena, I won't fight you on that. But that was the last time that Brock Lesnar did not close out a SummerSlam, which I found really interesting. Our friend Jason on Twitter is just looking for a quick recap. Well, he said quick thought. I'm saying quick recap from you about the Beyond Wrestling show down at Foxwoods on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, sure. So, you know, it's a really good promotion. Beyond Drew Cordero, the founder and the president of the organization, did a really nice job. Good production team there. Rich Palladino, ring announcer, great guy. It was American Rana 19. I thought it was a 5-hour show. I did not stay for the whole time, but the match that I really took away from was the tag team match. Bear Country, Bear Bronson, and Beefcake Charlie. They beat Santana Ortiz and Bear Country. These guys are up and coming. They very easily could be individual superstars too, but keep an eye on them. And the ladder match too, I thought it was too many competitors, but Solo Darling won. There were a lot of big name guys in there. Cheeseburger, Anthony Green, also Ken Doan.
When do we get that conversation? That's your boy.
That's in the bag too. That is coming. Right. It's coming. So, but yeah, good steel cage match was fantastic. The Chris Statlander, Kimberly won. Really, really good. Good performance all day long. Good crowd at Beyond. And go check them out at some point too, because they're a really good organization. You want to support the independent guys, Jimmy.
And a surprise appearance from MJF.
That's right.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For Mike Riley at Sarge985, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at IamJamesStewart. We'll talk to you next week.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.